truth be told, or your bullshit getting old. The world is getting cold. Don't nobody owe you nothing, so quit fronting. Nothing wrong with being honest. It's a lot of broken promises. Truth be told, we could communicate without all the gun violence. All it took was one conversation. It'll prevent a whole lot of altercation.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Truth Be Told. Today's a very special episode. It's the 20th week, and today we've got a very special guest. Today I've got Dan Nettleton of Brown Access for you here. Dan, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, James. Good to finally be on with you, buddy.
Man, it's good to finally get you on. So whenever you're ready, we can get right into it.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right. So how did you come up with the Browns Access name, and who came up with it?
Well, honestly, James, it started as a simple idea between me and my business partner, Ryan Mansfield. And, you know, we sat back in the Browns community for a couple years and just watched, you know, kind of everything develop on a social media landscape. And, you know, wanted to give all these Browns fans, you know, I think you and I both know how passionate Browns fans are. And we wanted to present another platform for Browns fans to give their thoughts and opinions. So a simple, you know, idea has kind of, you know, really taken off. And we just hope to really continue to provide the latest Browns news to these great fans and, you know, allow Browns fans to give their thoughts and opinions.
And you talk, I like how you talk about Browns fans being passionate, because, I mean, ain't that the truth? But what are you ultimately trying to accomplish? Are you trying to create this into a bigger brand, or?
You know, right now, our plan is to continue to grow, you know, in the Browns community. And, you know, hopefully one day, you know, get in that room and be the ones asking the questions to the team we all, you know, love and support.
That's awesome. Well, guess what, Truth Be Told fans, we're going to do something a little bit different today, since it is a special episode and we are Cleveland sports fans. We're going to go ahead and talk about the Browns win last night, and we're going to also talk about the direction of the Cavs team. So, Dan, since you're the special guest, I'll let you go ahead and choose what whatever you want to talk about first. We'll go ahead and do that.
Well, how about we, you know, because it's hot right now, why don't we just dive right into what happened last night in that Browns-Steelers game, Jason?
All right, we could do that. So, all right, so the first thing I want to say is I do believe that we're undefeated against the division rivals, aren't we?
That is true. We got 1-0 against both the Ravens and the Steelers now.
And, I mean, I don't think Cincinnati will be an issue. So
I think I'm with you there.
Now, there's this, you know, it was kind of a sloppy game for Pittsburgh, and, you know, it was, there was a lot of chirping going on, but for those who haven't been sleeping under a rock, there was a little bit of action that went on at the end of the fourth quarter here. So, Dan, what is your take on this this hot incident?
Well, yeah, like you said, sadly, and I think it was said by Freddie Kitchens after the game that, you know, after a 21-7 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, we're kind of all stuck here talking about what happened within the last, you know, 10 seconds of that game. And, you know, from my point of view, from everything that I saw, you know, it's obviously inexcusable what Miles' reaction was with the, you know, the old helmet to the head. But at the same time, I think the instigator, Rudolph in this case, you know, he should have at least been, I think there should have been some type of penalty other than this fine for instigating the whole thing. And yeah, it's going to be interesting how the Browns can bounce back without their best defensive player for the rest of the year. But
yeah, for those of us that haven't heard yet, Miles has been indefinitely suspended. Now, you know, what you said there is it takes away from a great win. But well, I also like that you said that, you know, Mason was the aggressor there. What people forget or choose not to see is that he kicked this dude in the nuts. You know what I mean? It's plain as day on there. If they show the full entirety of what went on, like, they were scrapping for like a minute before they actually show that part with the helmet and everything. And he gets kicked in the groin, you know, and then he's got those two guys grabbing on him, and he lifts Mason up with one arm with that crazy strength that he's got. And then, you know, he pulls the helmet off, and, you know, I don't agree with it. Like, they're both wrong. But for Mason Rudolph not to get any kind of, you know, suspension or trouble for it, and I don't know, man. They're making Miles out to seem like he's this terrible guy, and I just think that's – it was out of character for him, if anything. I would have been upset too, man, if I would have got kicked there.
Oh, yeah. And I think it stems from even the beginning. When you watch that slow-mo replay, you can see – Rudolph has his, he tries to take Miles' helmet off him. He sadly fails. And during that exchange, he has his hand up inside of Miles' face mask. And I believe anybody that's played their fair share of football knows that if you can get that hand up inside that neck and chin strap area, you can cause somebody to get pretty upset. And I think if Miles just would have responded with ripping the helmet off and didn't strike Rudolph with that helmet, I think this turns into, you know, it almost turns into a cool moment. And I mean, from my point of view, that if he just drops the helmet there and it's a pushing and shoving match, yeah, it still looks bad, but it doesn't escalate to the suspensions and the media frenzy that's going to take place the next couple days.
And, you know, with that guy just getting out of concussion protocol, they're going to play all that stuff up, and it just makes him look worse and worse every time they do.
Oh, yeah. And we thank God that Rudolph stayed standing, because could you imagine the scene if he would have went down, or if it would have been a knockout with that helmet, or if it just would have, yeah, just escalated that situation a little worse if he would have done severe damage with that blow.
Yeah, I mean, if he would have hit him in the right spot on the top of the head, you know, honestly, he could have killed him. So, I mean, I get the seriousness of it. And
yeah.
And like I said, I'm not saying, you know, he wasn't wrong, but, you know, he wasn't the only one that was a part of that hole. And then Pouncey, he kicked a dude in the head while he was down. And it, he should have got indefinite suspension as well for doing that, because you could break someone's neck kicking them the way he kicked them.
I think Pouncey was given the 3-game suspension, I believe, for his involvement.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know if you could give him more than that just because of what happened before, but I think you're right. The egregious... The punches are one thing, but when Miles goes down and he comes up and kicks him in the head, and you have it right there, clear as day for everyone to watch. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it could have been more, I mean, for that egregious, for more than just a 3-game.
Now, let's try to talk about a little more positive about the game. How about, you know, Kareem Hunt, man, I think has looked pretty good since returning. How do you feel about Kareem Hunt?
Oh, I think, yeah, I think the 1-2 punch of Kareem and Nick Chubb is going to be real good for the Browns for the remainder of this season. The way that they're trying slowly but surely are getting him involved in the rushing attack, I think is, you know, a little vision of what's to come of, you know, just mixing him in there when the time's right, giving Chubb just that little break. And what he's been able to do as a receiver in the passing game for Baker on those 3rd and shorts and stuff, turning last night on a 3rd and 11, 3rd and 12, he caught a little screen pass and fought and clawed and got the first down for us. So I really like what he's brought to this offense.
And then, like you said, Chubb, he got to 1,000 yards last night, man. That dude, I think he might get 1,500 yards. What do you think?
Ooh, I'm with you there. The way that he's been running the ball, especially, it was good to see last night late in that game. You could tell that the Steelers really got tired of seeing him, and he's one of yeah. He's one of those guys that the way his physicality and the way that he runs is eventually he wears you down. And
yep, he gets into teams like he upsets them. You could tell. You're right.
And that's really something. I mean, he epitomizes everything that you would want in a Cleveland Brown.
You know what, man? I think what it is I'm upset about the wide receivers area. Now, I think Landry has stepped it up the past few games. He's been playing well, but Beckham Jr. looks like he's not a part of the team or something, man. I think there's something going on either with him and Baker. Or I don't know what, but you know what I mean? Their chemistry is way off.
I'm with you there. I think that you saw a couple of times last night that Baker and OBJ just have not – they're not on the same page yet. And I think, well, you got to hope that they're getting close. But now, you know, you're getting into this back half of the season, and it's got to come sometime. And I think they've done a better job the past couple games of getting OBJ more involved. But, you know, you could tell that it's getting close. It's getting close. And let's hope that we see it with this, you know, this game coming up against the Dolphins. But as, with your point of Jarvis Landry, I think he has really come along this year and has been the one big bright spot in this receiving core. He's scored in the past three games. And yeah, has kind of been Baker's go-to guy in crunch time.
And just to say, I'm a big fan of Jarvis Landry, and just like the type of person he is, and a hard worker and a positive message all the time. You know, more people should be like that.
Yes, sir. And I believe, you know, there's some out there that question the money that was given to Jarvis Landry, and I think people forget to realize that when you sign a guy like Jarvis Landry, you're signing him for more than his talents on the football field. You're signing him for what he brings to a locker room, to an organization. And I feel like that grit and that fight that he plays with, and just he's got a tenacity about him that is contagious. And, you know, if it's used in the right way, that's something that hopefully here in the next couple of years throughout Jarvis's time with the Browns that you see, you know, rub off on the rest of his teammates.
And people shouldn't forget that in the first 4 years of him playing, he had more catches than like any receiver.
Oh yeah, he is. Like I said, he's been consistent. That is one thing. And that's, you know, sometimes with football players, that's the one thing that always sticks is consistency. You can be very average, but if you're consistent day in and day out, you can have a 10 to 12 year in the NFL career in the NFL.
Now, I want to kind of get into Baker Mayfield, man, because while I'm still very much a fan of him, he's kind of had a, you know, an off year. Do you want to contribute that to pressure, coaching change, or what do you think's been the big difference? Because he's thrown an awful lot of picks.
Well, you know, James, I think it's honestly a mix of a lot of things. You know, I think that it, you have this year when you have Todd Monken coming into the offensive scheme, you know, you have a whole new level of offense that's coming in to learn. You have that mixing in with what Freddie's trying to do. And, you know, you also have games under your belt where other teams are able to watch tape and study what you're good at and take away your strengths and take away your first read. So honestly, you know, with this first half of the schedule, it was a buzzsaw. We've faced, you know, time after time, top five offenses. And I think since coming back after the bye, you've seen Baker's stats slow and steady climbing and climbing. And I believe he's starting to find his footing. Last night, you know, with the completion percentage right around 50 again, it's concerning. But, you know, I think with the two touchdowns and an overall QB rating of 92.3, I think it's trending in the right direction.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought up Freddie Kitchens, because if one guy's caught a lot of slack this season, it's definitely been him. You know, are you a believer in Freddie Kitchens, or do you think that they're going to move on from him? Because, you know, I think they need to give a guy just a chance, you know, 4 years, 3 years, something, build a chemistry with a guy.
That is, yeah, that's the question right now that has been going through the Browns community since, you know, early this season when the first signs of, you know, maybe it's not right came about. And for me, I'm with you. I hope that we turn things around this, the back half of this year, and we see signs that Freddie's putting it all together and, you know, that we're able to stick with him. But if we continue to see signs of regression in Baker, I think that's where you have to pull the plug. If you see regressions in your franchise quarterback, that correlates to offensive coordinator, and that is Freddie Kitchens. And I think if, like I said, if you continue to see regressions, it's definitely something that's going to have to be addressed. But for me as a Browns fan and a Browns hopeful is what I call myself, you would hope that Freddie puts it together and that we are able to stick with him. Because, I mean, if you think about the other side, that's, you know, multiple coaches for Baker in his first couple years, a whole new offense coming in, that, you know, there's two sides to every coin.
Yeah, I like that answer. I very much feel the same way. You know, let's do one more about the Browns, and then I know these people want to hear more about the Cavs. So how do you think the Browns season is going to end? What do you think the record's going to look like? And do you think there's a chance of the playoffs, or do you think that's better kept for, you know, next season?
Well, right now, you know, with everything that we've seen, that is a tough question you've presented me here, James. But I think, you know, if we continue, luckily we have, you know, what, maybe a gimme game here with the Dolphins. You know, I think this team is going to be strictly momentum based. If we stack some wins here together and can roll into that Ravens game later in the year with some real playoff implications on the line, yeah, I think we have a shot. And, you know, I'll give you my prediction. I'll say 9-7.
You know what, man? That's the number, I guess, at the beginning of the season, but I've been kind of like telling everyone 8-8 lately, but I'd really like to see that 9-7 still. So I like that answer. I can accept that answer.
It was a tough one. It was a tough position to be put in. I appreciate that.
All right, so let's move on to the Cavs now. You know, they retooled this team a little bit. You know, it's a very young team. The coaching staff, the John Beilein, J.B. Bickerstaff. I really like this coaching staff, man. You know, Beilein is somebody who's worked with 18 to 23-year-old kids for, you know, the past 40-something years as a winning coach. He brings a new culture to the team. It seems like they're playing together. What do you think about this new team and how they play together?
Well, I, for the first, you know, how many, 12, 13 games that they've played this year, I've enjoyed watching this young core so much after what we've seen, you know, the past, at least regular seasons with the LeBron James-led teams. This team, other than talent-wise, you can tell that these kids are at least, they're playing hard. They're playing hard on defense. They're putting, you know, maximum effort into every single game. And they're at least been a joy to watch so far this season.
You know, one of the kids I'm a big fan of is Colin Sexton, who was another one. I think people, you know, said a lot of things about him when they drafted him, tried saying he wasn't a good shooter. But the kid so far has shot over 40% from three and, you know, about 48%, you know, from the field. I really like Colin Sexton. I think, you know, he has a chance to be kind of like a C.J. McCollum type of scorer because he's obviously not a good, you know, distributor. What do you think about Colin Sexton?
Well, I love the C.J. McCollum comparison because I sadly had to spend a couple years in high school trying to cover C.J. But Colin has really put together, you know, the back half of last season, you started to really see him come on. And I think he's transferred that into a good offseason and came into this season. And what he's been able to do, I think, really speaks volumes to his hard work. And, you know, I think really the chemistry that he is starting to have with his teammates. And I think Beilein has really been the perfect coach to bring in with this young core.
With Kevin Love, you know, kind of being the focal point of the team, do you still think there's a chance that he gets traded? Because I really feel like Beilein is kind of pushing for him to stay, and I really think he'd be a great culture piece.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think both Kevin Love and Tristan, but having that veteran leadership, and I think both of those guys have done a great job of, you know, taking that role over from LeBron and those group of guys after they left. And if I was the Cavs organization, I would hang on to Kevin Love because I'm with you. I think that his veteran leadership and him being the vocal point, if he goes anywhere else, I don't think he's going to be featured on offense like he is here. Yeah, I think for the Cavs right now, I think it'd be in their best interest to hang on to him.
So there's two sets of big guys right now in the league that are averaging double-doubles, right? And it's LeBron in AD, and then it's Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. Can you believe that?
Oh, man, that is music to my ears.
Right? Just, you know, they remind me of, like, kind of like the Brooklyn Nets, how they played. They play with heart, you know what I mean? And they fight in every game.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the best thing, like I said, about this young team is that every night you turn them on, whoever they got, you know that you're going to get a maximum effort. You're never going to question, you know, was he trying on defense? Is he saving himself for the playoffs? You know, are they going to be able to turn it on when the playoffs come? Stuff like that. But, yeah, this young team, love watching them. That's about as simple as it gets. Just love watching them.
Now, do you think it's realistic that they'd win over 30 games, say, this season? Or do you think they should try to get that pick from the Hawks back?
You know what? I would really like to see them try to compete for one of those lower spots in the East. Just, I think we have the talent that if, you know, you put some wins together, maybe with the money looking as it is right now, we could have a shot at trying if we, you know, unload some of these contracts, trying to sign somebody this offseason. But I think you have to give it at least, you know, half of a season to really see what you have before you make those types of decisions. I think it's too early in the race right now to really know necessarily what we have. And, you know, say we were 500 at that mark, what would you do?
You know, I don't think I could have asked for a better answer for one thing, though. I really like that answer. Because everybody that I've talked to really wants to, like, you know, sell the team down and try to get the pick. And it's like, why, man? Why would you not want to change the culture of the guys around and give them that experience of the playoffs, especially with the young guys we do have now, which would be an incredible experience for them to have. And then, like you said, maybe be able to entice the talent because, oh, look how good they are, you know, and they have the money to sign somebody already. So,
yeah,
I like your answer.
I honestly think that this team could be, you know, one, maybe two pieces away of really, you know, having a nice squad. You know, when you think you got two good guards, you got a good post offensive player, another defensive post. And I mean, hey, Tristan Thompson's turning into a little bit of an offensive player this year. But, you know, you're one, maybe one big strong. Hey, and even with
John Henson.
Yes, even with the guys that we have right now, you with Kevin Porter Jr., you have a guy that could develop into something like that over time with his ISO game and the way that he's been able to break some guys down and get buckets at times this season.
Yeah, Porter Jr. is actually the one that I think has like a superstar potential. I think Darius Garland will end up being a great shooter. I'm not sure about Windler. I know he's good, and he did play, I think, a full 4 years, and usually those guys end up being all right. So, I mean, it's a very interesting three that they got. But, yeah, like I'd like to see them, you know, compete and maybe make the playoffs, if not this year, you know, the next year.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually really looking forward to when Windler's, you know, really gets to come back and get going. I really enjoyed watching him. He was played for Belmont in the March Madness tournament, and it was on my one upset that I picked that season. So I really enjoyed his. He actually plays with a little bit of an edge and is a lot more athletic than you would peg him at. So I'm going to be real interested to see him at the NBA level and see what he can bring.
And I love a big guy that can score, man. I think that's always fun to watch.
Oh yeah, he's six six and wiry. He's a little lengthier than you would think. And yeah, I think he's going to be a nice little addition when he's able to come back and get fully healthy.
All right. So what's your overall prediction for their record?
Ooh, boy. Yeah. You're hitting me with the toughies today. You know what? I'm going to say somewhere right around, I'll peg them a couple games above 500. Maybe they get there. Maybe they don't. I could be totally wrong. But me just being, like I said, I'm a Browns and Cavs hopeful. I don't call myself a fan. I'm a hopeful fan. So I'm going to peg them a couple games over 500, maybe squeeze into one of those last couple playoff spots.
I guess I'm a little bit not as harsh on them, I guess. I would be very excited for them to win 35 games, though. After what they did last year, I think that would be an extreme improvement.
Honestly, James, that's a more realistic prediction. Like I said, mine was more from the fan, hoping perspective. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I think you're probably right there. I probably would peg it at right around 30, 35 games.
Dan, man, I just got to say you've been a fantastic guest. You've been one of the more fun people to talk to. I know I'll probably catch some slack for that. But, you know, this is usually the time where I have the guests, you know, plug something they're doing, or if there's any upcoming maybe articles for you or content or something coming out that you want to plug and let people know where they can get a hold of you at.
Oh, yeah. Well, honestly, just look for everything Browns Access related, you know, for the rest of the year and hopefully, you know, the future. We're going to continue to provide, you know, the latest news and latest stuff on the Browns from the Cleveland Browns fan perspective.
And it's at Browns Access on Twitter. Are you guys on any other social media?
We were on Twitter and Instagram. So, yep, give us a follow. And it's brownsaccess.com as well.
So that means you guys have no excuse. And I am your host, James C. Turner Jr., of course. And you can catch me at JP's All Day 1990 on Twitter and James C. Turner Jr. on IG. Dan, thanks again for coming on the show, man. It was a pleasure.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
And everybody, thank you for tuning in, and tune in next week.
Nothing but positive vibes all day. Grinding, trying to make a better way. Better listen to what the songs say. Truth be told, you better slow your roll. I've been on the same road before. You know I'm the chosen one. I spit flows from the brain, young G1.